Okay. Time assessor.
We'll resume in 2 weeks.
Okay, so you may recall that Parshas Vayetze, we discussed the halachas of sleeping in Shul. And that she originally was supposed to be entitled Sleeping and Eating in Shul, but due to the time constraints that we often operate with, we didn't get to the eating part. So at the time, I said at some point we would get to the eating part, and Parshas Truma is our opportunity to discuss eating in Shul. Parshas Truma, obviously, we have Yasel Mikdash Rishachanti Vesachem, the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, and we know that our Arba Teknesias are considered a Mikdash Ma'at, and a lot of the halachos that we have about how to conduct ourselves in a Beis Knesset and Beis Medrash are based on how we conduct ourselves in the Beis HaMikdash. As we've discussed previously, there's a notion of Mora HaMikdash, and there's a notion of Mora / Kavod Beis HaKnesses. Whether that's a Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan, both Mora and Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, we've discussed in the past, is a Machlokas Rishonim. There's a famous Shita of the Yoreim that Mora HaMikdash is a Din D'Oraisa. There's a Ran and Megillah that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a Din D'Rabbanan. So those are matters that are subject to machlokas. If Shlomo Zalman points out, quoted, I saw in his name, that even if you hold in general that Kedushas Knesses is a din d'oraisa and Mora Mikdash is a din d'oraisa, that only applies to certain elements of appropriate or inappropriate activity in a shul. But when it comes to eating, as we'll see, given that there are certain built-in kulos, it must be that the violation of eating in the shul is only a din d'rabbanan, because if it was a din d'oraisa, then you wouldn't have license for all the kulas that we find about eating and drinking in shul. Okay, so the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Kav Ches, I actually forgot to give you the first line of this Gemara, which is the bottom of Kav Ches Mar Aleph. So you're missing the first and perhaps most important line of the Braisa. But the Gemara tells us the very bottom line of Kav Ches Mar Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, Bate Knesios Ein Nohagin Behem Kalis Rosh. You're not allowed to conduct yourself in a frivolous fashion. Ein ochlin behen, ve'ein shosim behen. You're not allowed to eat or drink in a Beis Knesses. Now we're on Kav Ches and Beis that you have. Ve'ein eosim behen. You can't dress yourself up there. Ve'ein metailin behen. You can't just pass your time and use it for leisurely activities. Ve'ein nechnasim behen v'lcham ne'echam v'gesham ne'egeshamim. Ve'ein maspidim behen hesped shel yachid v'alkarin behen v'shonim behen v'maspidim behen hesped shel Rabbim. Okay, so that's the Isser of eating and drinking in Shul. So we'll see that there are two basic avenues to explore to explain where there may be kulas under certain circumstances to allow for eating and drinking in Shul. So one avenue is what is the nature of the Isser Achila and Shasiyah Bebeis HaKnesset to begin with. And the second one is whether the notion of Tanai, of having a condition, which the Gemara here indicates is something that is unique to Bate Knesios B'chutz La'aretz, which are al Tanai Binuyin, Bate Knesios Atzav Eretz Yisrael, are built with a certain inherent Tanai. So does that condition allow for certain kulas regarding Achila and Shasiya? And that would only be relevant outside of Eretz Yisrael and not Eretz Yisrael proper. If we're going to be Mekel based on the nature of the Isser, that would apply equally to Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. If it is based on this Tanai, so Tanai is something unique to Chutz La'aretz and not Eretz Yisrael. So Sif Pesach Frank has a tshuva, tshuva's Har Tzvi, Orachayim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Ayin Gimel. Har Tzvi, Orachayim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Ayin Gimel. This is a tshuva written to Shlomo David Kahana. Shlomo David Kahana was the Rav in Warsaw right before the war. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and this tshuva was written in 1940, when he was already in Eretz Yisrael. Shlomo David Kahana may be most famous for the following. Someone once told me that the definition of a famous Mar Malkum is a Mar Malkum that Rosh Hechter quotes. So Rosh Hechter quotes this Mar Malkum whenever he learns or whenever he talks about Erevin, which is a letter that Rabbi Kasher prints in his essays on the Manhattan Erev, that Rav Shlomo David Kahana wrote. The reason that they were makel to allow the construction or the continued usage of an Erev in Warsaw, even after the population of Warsaw eclipsed Shishim Ribo, so there are more than 600,000 residents in Warsaw, nevertheless, they continued to rely on the Erev, because there was no road that was mechuvan mishar l'shar b'lishim ikum klal. There was no road that went straight from one end of the city to the other. And according to some Rishonim, that's a necessary prerequisite to have a Rishis HaRabim. So that's how we've heard of Rosh Shlomo David Kahana before. I discovered this year in learning Erevin, he has another interesting kula that they relied on in Warsaw based on something you heard from Reb Chaim for another time. But this letter was about the following shaila. They wanted to know whether in the Chor Vashol in Yerushalayim, 1940, the Chor Vashol was Bibinyana. It was destroyed in 48 and rebuilt a few years ago. So 1940 in the Chor Vashol, they wanted to know whether they could have Shalashuddis in the Shul itself. So Rav Pesach Frank addresses the question in the following way, working off what the Shoel had presented. So the way he frames the question is whether there's a kula for having an achilas arai in a shul. You're not allowed to eat and drink in shul. Are you allowed to have a snack? Are you allowed to have what's considered an achilas arai? So when it comes to shena, when it comes to sleeping, so that we saw, if you have in your packet here, the beginning of Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, that we saw last time, Sif Gimel, Kuf Nun Aleph Gimel, Ein Yishena Beisakhanesis Afilu Shena Sarai. So you're not allowed to sleep in shul, even a shena sarai. So is that true when it comes to achil as well? Is there a kula to allow for achil sarai in a shul? If you look in the Deir Halacha, which is on the second page of the handout, Dibur Maskel Ein Ochlin V'Shosim Hen, the Deir Halacha leaves this with a tzarachiyim. He's not sure whether the same kula, whether there is a kula of achil sarai when it comes to Beis Hakneses. So Ritzu Pesach Frank suggests that this question should hinge on what the nature of the Isser Achila Beis HaKnesses is. So if you look back at the Gemara, you actually can't look because you don't have an Aleph, but the Gemara said, again, Bate Knesios Ein Noagin Behen Kalus Rosh, and our Girsa says Ein Ochlin Behen V'Ein Shosin Behen. And that's the Girsa of Rashi. So that sounds like Bate Knesios is not allowed to be Noagin Kalus Rosh, colon, you can't eat, you can't drink. So eating and drinking is a manifestation of what would be considered kalus rosh. So as Rav Pesach Frank explains, it doesn't mean that eating is definitionally kalus rosh. Eating is something that we have to do. It's not a frivolous activity. It's an important activity. But to do it in a shul is considered kalus rosh. That's inappropriate to do it in a shul. So if you read the Gemara the way we have the gears in front of us, ein nogin man kalus rosh, colon, ein ochlem and ein shosim. Hence, that tells you that achil and shesia are forms of kalus rosh, and that's why you're not allowed to eat or drink in shul. Rashi here points out that there was another girsa. The other girsa was v'ein ochlem behen. So, if you're a goris, b'ta kinesios ein ogin behen kalus rosh, v'ein ochlem and v'ein shosim behen, so that's something else. You're not allowed to be no kalus rosh, whatever kalus rosh means, and you're not allowed to eat or drink. So, if the girsa is and you're not allowed to eat or drink, you can't be no kalus rosh and you can't eat and drink. So that sounds like you can't eat and drink for some other reason. What's the other reason? Some general notion of kavod beis hakneses.
What would the Gemara's definition of kalus rosh be if it's the vi?
So then the Gemara doesn't tell you the definition of kalus rosh. So you can leave it to your imagination what would be considered a leavenous activity that you wouldn't be allowed to do in shul. Good. So he thinks it's totally on this girsa. And then if the issue is one of kalus rosh, so then there could be a matter of degree. So then it's arguable that achilas arai is not necessarily a violation of kalus rosh, because that's very temporary. It's there's no prolonged activity. If it's a matter of kavod beis haknesses, so he argues that kavod beis haknesses would even preclude having an achilas arai.
That's Har Tzvi.
That is the Har Tzvi, Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Gimel. And then he raises a question, so assuming we go with the kalus rosh approach, and then you wouldn't even be able to eat achilas sarai, there still is a carve-out for a sudas mitzvah. So if you look in the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch, Bate Knesias Bate Midrashas Ein Noagin Behen Kalus Rosh, the beginning of Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, Kegon Schok Vihitol Vesicha Betela, V'ein Ochlin V'Shosim Behen, so the Shulchan Aruch has V'ein Ochlin V'Shosim Behen, which is Lashon Rambam, v'lo miskashin behen, v'lo mitaylin behen, v'lo nechnasin behen, b'cham ne'echam, b'gishom ne'egashamim, tamid chacham etamideyem, b'tarim lachol, v'lo shas b'midochak. So that we'll explain in a few minutes. There's a special dispensation for tamid chachamim under extenuating circumstances. So the Magen Avraham comments over here, the Magen Avraham Sif Katan Hay, which is cited in the Mishnah Berurah. I think the Mishnah Berurah has it. I don't see it here. Maybe it doesn't quote it. No, that's what I'm looking for. Anyway, the Magen Avraham, maybe he doesn't quote it here. I thought he did. The Magen Avraham says that there is a dispensation for certain types of Seudos Mitzvah. So, for example, a Seudos Ibur HaChodesh would be permissible in a base Knesset. So what's the basis of that Kula of the Magen Avraham? So the way the Prima Gadim explains, it sounds like it's a question of Chashash Shikras. So if you have a Seudos Ibur HaChodesh, so the way the Magen Avraham says it is, Ibur Shana, Lashon Magen Avraham, Ibur, could go to Ibur Shana, Ein Bakalas Rosh, Perish De Ein Olin Ba Ela Ba Pasfakinias Bilvad. It was a very bare bones meal, they only had bread and beans. And the way the Prima Magen Avraham explains that there's no Chashash Shikras, no Chashash that you're going to get drunk in that kind of a meal, so there's no real Kalas Rosh consideration. So that may be somewhat limited. And
so you need both? Because it sounds like it's not really focusing on the nature of the Seudos Mitzvah, it's really focusing on what's being served at the Seudos Mitzvah.
Right. So the Magen Avraham's Lashon is that it's a minimal meal. And the Prima Gadim seems to understand that as a function of Shechris.
But it's got to be in the context of a Seudos Mitzvah.
It has to be in the context of a Seudos Mitzvah, correct. So what is considered a Seudos Mitzvah? So he points out, here it is. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch Sif Dalid, has the example of Seudos Ibur Shana, and the Mishnah Berurah, that's requested by Magen Avraham. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Kaf, Ayim Magen Avraham Shehevi B'Shem Agos Smak, Delohut B'Seudos Mitzvah Ela Kagon Seudos Ibur Shana, She'em B'Kalis Rosh, Shai Sasuya B'Pas V'Kinis B'Vad, V'Salom V'Dafuki Seudos Mitzvah She'esh B'Shikris, Aser Af B'Seh Medrash, Prima Gadim. So Magen Avraham, the way the Prima Gadim understood, was only matir a limited Seudos Mitzvah where there's no Kalis Rosh potential, where, number one, there is limited food, and perhaps a function of the fact that there's limited food, there's no concern of shikras. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, "Bikol makom hanogin lahakel la'aseh sudasiyum hashas b'beis hamedrash m'mnei she'ein lahem makom acher meruvach lazein min limchos b'yadam d'yesh lahem milosbach." So if you're going to have a siyum hashas in a shul, in a beis hamedrash, there's one, even though he doesn't endorse that l'chatchila. Okay, that's also based on the tonight consideration, which we'll get to soon. So, Rav Pesach Frank's analysis is where the Shalosh Seudos fit into this. So, according to the Magen Avraham, it sounds like it's a very limited type of Seudos Mitzvah that you're allowed to have in Shul. Number one, the menu for Shalosh Seudos is not as limited as Pas V'Kiddush, although it depends where you have Shalosh Seudos. And I don't know what they were serving in 1940 in the Churva Shul. Can't imagine it was that elaborate. And number two, the Bichlal, he does point out, there is an Orser Ruah, who assumes that any Seudos Shabbos is considered a Seudos Mitzvah. That's the Kasha that we know of in Tosas in Pesachim Daf Kaf Aleph, where the Gemara says in the Kiddush Malkum Seudos Sugya that the guest, Achle V'Shasa V'Gonim Beis Knesset, that the guests would eat, drink, and sleep in Shul. So Tosas and the Rishon are bothered, how are they allowed to eat, drink, and sleep in Shul? So last time we discussed sleep, now we're discussing eat. You're not allowed to eat in the shul. So Tosas answers, they ate in the side rooms. So if they ate in the side rooms, so then there's no issue of eating in shul because they didn't eat in shul. They ate in the side rooms. The Yerushalayim says, they were allowed to eat in Shul because it was a Suda Shabbos. Suda Shabbos is considered a Suda Smitzvah, and the Suda Smitzvah is permissible in Shul. So there is that day in Rishonim that allows for a Suda Shabbos as a Suda Smitzvah that you could l'chakila have in Shul. Most of Rishonim presumably argue on that, and that's why in Rav Pesach Frank's final analysis, he's not so comfortable with having Shalosh Shudas in Shul. Others were more makel, without necessarily a much different cheshbon, but that is considered enough of a Sudas Mitzvah to justify having it in Shul. So that is one approach to these issues, that if the nature of the Isser is Kavod as opposed to Kalos Rosh, then Rav Pesach Frank thinks there will be more grounds to be makel, but he ends up coming with the Kalos Rosh approach, in which case you have more limited grounds to be makel, and then you have the cheshbon, what's considered the kind of Sudas Mitzvah that is permissible.
So whatever
hesped. I'm sorry?
Whatever hesped shall yachid, then there's no Kalos Rosh there.
So hesped shall yachid. Right, so that might be kavod belavachi. There are certain things that are probably usher because of kavod basic nesses, which aren't a function of Kalos Rosh. Question is, where does Achila v'Shasiyah fit in? Okay. Then the Gemara here tells us this notion of Tanai for Batik Nesios Shebibavel, which essentially means Batik Nesios Shebichusar. So that's relevant for a basic Nesis that is no longer functional, a basic Nesis b'Chorbana, that there are certain activities that would otherwise be prohibited even b'Chorbana that are permissible if it was built al Tanai. And then the Gemara seems to indicate that there may be a relevance of Tanai for certain issues where the shul is still in existence. So according to Tosus over here, Dibur Maskel Bata Kinesios Kavches Amid Beis on the top, Tosus assumes that the whole relevance of Tanai is only Bichurbana. So that there's no added allowance for eating in a shul if the shul is still functioning as a shul, even if it was a shul that was built al Tanai. Tanai is only relevant when it comes to a shul b'churbana. But according to many other Rishonim, the Rashmi here, for example, and others, Tanai is relevant even when the shul is still in existence. So the way the Rashmi phrases it is that if you have a base Knesset b'chutz la'aretz, so the fact that it's built al Tanai is enough of an allowance to have aniyim eat of the shul. That's how the Rashi answers Tosfos' kasha of achlu v'shasu v'gadu v'beknishta. It's not a blanket heter to eat a drink, but since it's, if it wasn't built al Tanai, if it's a base Knesset b'aretz Yisrael, so then there's no kul at all. If it's a base Knesset b'chutz la'aretz because it's built al Tanai, so then if there's a extenuating circumstance, for example, aniyim who have nowhere else to eat, so then the aniyim would be able to eat in shul. So many Rishonim take that approach. And some limit this kind of dochik situation where you're allowed to eat midochik, you're allowed to eat under extenuating circumstances in a Beis Knesset, to Talmidei Chachamim. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tefila Perek Yud Aleph has Chachamim v'Talmidei hem mutarim lachal v'lishas behen midochak. So Chachamim and Talmidei hem are allowed to eat in a shul midochak. So in the Rambam, that may even apply in Eretz Yisrael, independent of the Tanai, where the Tanai doesn't exist. So the Cheshbon by Talmid Chachamim may be different, that the way the Magen Avraham explains, what's a dochak by Talmid Chachamim, if they're going to have to leave the shul, or the Beis Medrash, to go eat somewhere else, so there's going to be Bithel Torah that is caused by their having to leave. So the Dochik by Aniyim, when the Rishonim talk about Dochik by Aniyim, is that there's nowhere else for them to eat. You have to provide for them to eat somewhere. The Dochik in the context of Talmid HaChachamim is that there's going to be Bithel Torah involved if they have to go eat somewhere else. So the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, what I just read, we'll read it again, is the Mechaber says, Talmid HaChachamim v'Talmideihem mutarim lecha v'lishnas v'hemidochik, that's Lashon HaRambam. Chachamim v'Talmideihem. in the Rambam. The Chabad says Tamid Chacham Tamidayim. V'yesh Omrim, the Rama says the Bebeis Hamedrash Afilu Shelo Midachak Shari. So the Ran and the Rashba and some of the other Rishonim say that when it comes to Beis Hamedrash, so then there are more grounds to be Mekel than in a Beis Knesses, and maybe that would even be permissible Shelo Midachak, because a Beis Medrash is a place that's miyuchad for learning. So you have your Tamiya Chachamim, this is what the Magen Avraham explains, you have your Tamiya Chachamim who are learning Yom V'Layla Beis Medrash, they have a kviyas there, so in order not to cause any bittul Torah, we'll allow them to eat in an unrestricted fashion in a Beis Medrash. So I was just looking in the Yalkut Yosef, who quoted some Ashkenazi sources. I didn't have a chance to look at them inside, but the Sholem Meisha, for example, apparently wrote that when he built the shul in his town, he made a tanai explicitly, a verbal tanai upon construction, that the Talmid Chacham would be able to eat in the Beis Medrash, be able to drink in the Beis Medrash in his context, without restriction. Ramosha has a famous tshuva about seeing eye dog, which he was asked whether a person who needs it can bring a seeing eye dog into a Beis HaKnesses. So his analysis of that relates to our issue as well. He talks about eating in shuls in that tshuva. So Ramosha is... is this Chelik Alev or Chelik Beis? I don't remember. Orachaim Simin Memches. V'inyan Suma Shir Gilu Kelev Lalicho Im Yachol Yichanos HaBeis HaKnesses HaTefila. So first he begins by quoting a Yerushalmi in the end of Megillah that has an episode of someone that brought a Pashim Shad, someone who brought a Chamor into a Beis HaKnesses. So you see from that Yerushalmi that bringing a donkey into a shul is not considered Kalas Rosh. It's not considered a Bizayon, because there, the Yerushalmi is talking about a case where there was a certain consideration why they needed to bring the Chamor into the Beis Medrash, talking there about Tamid HaChachamim as well. So the Yerushalmi seems to assume that whatever heter there is for a Tamid HaChacham to eat or drink also applies to the Tamid HaChacham to bring his donkey into a shul.
It's interesting to see who asked the shul.
Yes, Rabbi Teitz. So Moshe says, and then he writes on the second page of this, "Tubekin Dumani, Shabbahar B'Mekom was Nogin L'Hakel Av Shelo B'Shas Adchak." So all the Rishonim talk about the Kula for a Tamid HaChachamim B'Shas Adchak or a Niyim B'Shas Adchak. So Moshe just notes it looks like the minhag developed that people are makel about eating in shul even Shelo B'Shas Adchak. L'tzarech mitzvah k'sas k'gon lachol su l'shlishis v'shabbos. Even though you don't need to eat shalosh shittos in shul, you can eat shalosh shittos in home just as well. But some of the minhag has developed that people eat shalosh shittos in shul, and people have a suda for a ufra, for a suda for a bar mitzvah, even though it's not clear where the mitzvah is. And the chassidim eat in their shuls all the time, even for yahrzeit. He says it must be that some of the minhag developed that we accept the position of the Or Zeruah that we quoted before, that you're allowed to eat in a shul al tanai, even shelo b'dochak. But not that necessarily would have passed away l'chachila, but he says the fact that if you look around, people are mekel for shalosh shittos and for an ofer and a bar mitzvah and for tikkun. So the fact that people are mekel across the board, it looks like we're somehow adopting the more mekel position in Rishonim that allow for achila v'shasiya for a sudas mitzvah, even shelo, or a pseudo sudas mitzvah, even shelo b'shas adchak. So then he concludes as far as his issue that bringing a donkey into shul should be no worse than eating and drinking. And if you're allowed to bring a donkey, then you should be allowed to bring a dog if it's a shas adchak for this person, because how else is he going to get to shul? And he needs a dog to guide him. So Ramosha thinks that is permissible. The Chalkas Yaakov of Yaakov Reich of Zurich, who is not afraid to argue on Ramosha. So Chalkas Yaakov Arachayim Simon Lamedalid argues on the Psak. Number one, So he points out that the Hasidim who have a tikkun for yard sider eat without restriction in the base medrash, that's only in a shtivl. And they bedafka call their batei medrash shtiblach because they're showing that it doesn't have a full kedushas base akneses. That's why they don't daven in shuls. That's why they daven in shtiblach, because the shtibl doesn't have a full kedushas akneses. So that's how they get around it. But you can't learn from there that there's a blanket kula for a base akneses. And then he says, what's the raya from the Yerushalmi about a donkey? The lashon in the Yerushalmi was chamrei, his donkey. So he thinks, no, maybe it means the donkey rider, that he brought the donkey rider into the base medrash, not the donkey itself. And he says, even if you're going to tell me it means the donkey itself, well, maybe a dog is worse than a donkey, because the Gemara in Bavakam Pei Gimel indicates that once a dog barked and caused a woman to miscarry, so dogs are more dangerous than donkeys, and it's not a proper Jewish thing to have a dog. And if you're going to if you bring a donkey into a shul, so no one's going to say, it's normal to have donkeys around. But if you're going to bring a dog into a shul, people will think it's normal to have a dog. And that would be an inappropriate conclusion. So for these reasons, the Chalkas Yaakov is cholik on Rav Moshe's tzak, and assumes that there's no great kula for allowing a seeing eye dog in a base medrash. And he says, there are other ways to, if he really wants to go to shul, so someone else can guide him, he doesn't need the dog, he'll find his way. And even if he could find his way, onus achmana patre. So even if he'll never be able to go to shul without the seeing eye dog, but it's not, so it's an onus, you can't hold him accountable for it, he's not going to be faulted, and he didn't think there were grounds to be matir the chamor. The dog. Sorry.
The dog in the vestibule, the
shul. I don't know. That wasn't discussed. But bottom line is that the two general kulas, or the most prominent kula, or explain where there are certain leniencies for eating or drinking in shul, is based on the fact that Bet Knesses and Chutzlars are built al Tanai. And the various formulations of Yishonah that are reflected in Shulchan Aruch, that at least for Talmud Chacham, there may be certain dochik situations where there would be difficulty in having to eat out of the Beis Medrash, in which case you're allowed to eat in the Beis Medrash. And for Seudas Mitzvah, so that's a question among the later poskim, what's considered Seudas Mitzvah that would be sufficiently a sufficient Seudas Mitzvah that would allow having it in the Shul.
To the MEA area.